The Bible tells us, very seriously, to be ready in season and out of season with an answer. You may be seated. Be ready in season and out of season with an answer. Through the course of this past week, I spent a lot of time in studying things that aren't natural to me. If I go back and do everything all over again, I would focus on world history. I really would. I wish I would have learned in sixth grade what I was supposed to know so that when I got to the age I'm at now and I'm looking in the Word of God, things would come quickly and naturally. But they were a work. And I have to be ready in season and out of season with an answer. And so do you. And when you see the things happening in the day to day, and you know the roots and the foundation of those things, and what people like Daniel had to stand against, he had to be ready in season and out of season with some of the wisest men in the world. And so do you and I with an answer. In Jesus' name, amen. That was totally for free. There was no charge to that. We have so many things happening. I'm going to come back to this in a second. If you got this in your bulletin, we'll come to that in just a little bit. And typically, we don't want to be doing announcements too much anymore, but it is the end of the year. If you want to have your tithes and offerings count towards this year in your taxes, get them in. It says in the bulletin when to get them in. By the 28th, that would be wonderful. That would have you set. This 21 days of fasting was a big deal last year. It is a big deal this year. We were prepared in some ways for a big old virus that hit the world. And we prayed and fasted before that happened. And some of you were very ready to handle that. I believe the church was ready in lots of ways to handle it. And we can get better. What's coming up in 2021, we don't know. But we will be praying and fasting over that time. And I believe the prayer meetings on Monday are a good thing to come to during that time. I want to encourage you to come to the prayer meetings on Monday. It's a big deal when a church becomes a house of prayer. Father God, thank you, Jesus. Men, we may not travel down to Milwaukee, which is sad to not have the company with men on a trip. I'm very glad I don't have to get up at 5 in the morning for such a trip. But we will have no regrets. If you look at the flyer in your bulletin, it'll give you some ideas as to what's going to happen there. But if we could put on the video right now, Roger, that would be really good.
These are unprecedented times that we are living in. Times that call for men to be courageous, to courageously follow hard after Jesus, to live, lead, and love like Jesus in their home, church, workplace, and community. On February 6, 2021, thousands and thousands of men are going to gather from all over this country in host site churches, in homes as small groups, and individuals to live stream and experience the No Regrets Conference virtually. And if there ever was a time in our society that needed men of courage, it is today. This virtual conference features world-class speakers and thought leaders. Three are returning conference favorites. You'll be renewed, challenged, and propelled to become the men of courage God intends you to be. Make plans now to gather with the men in your life to experience this life-changing event. See you on February 6th.
And if you're a man and you show up, I'll see you on February 6th too. So men, think about no regrets. The message today is the promised Messiah is born. If you could please stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to begin at Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have not seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring him back word to me that I might come to worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So Heavenly Father, we just ask that you continue to have your way in this service. Speak through this servant. Open all our ears and our hearts and our minds and our spirits to receive what you have for us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And a boy, Keith. Amen. All right. Before I even jump into the word, I'd like to welcome the people who are watching online. Just to remind you that you are missed, and we want to see you back here soon. But while you're away, we'll do our best to provide ways that you can hear the message that we deliver every Sunday. Before I get into the message also, I need to establish just where we're at. The verse before, in the chapter before, gives us the genealogy that goes all the way back to Abraham. So there's 14 generations from Abraham to King David. Then there's another 14 generations from King David to the exile in Babylon. And then there's 14 more generations from the exile in Babylon to Christ. I think it's important to know that. In that time, the Israelites were taken away and they were brought to captivity in Babylon. And you'll see the influence of the Jewish people, primarily Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they had on the leadership of Babylon. And I believe it is carried on to the day of Christ in many ways. It wasn't just those three. It was also the people of Judah. They were being disciplined and they were taken from the southern kingdom to Babylon because they had fallen away from God. But God is always at work. He is always doing something, and we have to be aware of those things. So in Matthew 1:18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. I'm going to stop right there. Jesus' mother, Mary, was betrothed. The word betrothal is similar to our word engagement today. When somebody wants to get married, they get engaged. And that period can last anywhere from a few months to a year. Usually I've known some that have gone 2 and 3 years, which made absolutely no sense to me. But I mean, I think once you make a decision, you need to move on that decision. But the word betrothal is a big deal. Because once you're engaged or betrothed, you're already considered to be married by the law in this day. So an engagement is a real thing. And to break out of that engagement requires a certificate of divorce. So what we had here was a betrothal. Joseph was to marry Mary. And that was the official thing that took place. Between the betrothal and the actual marriage, the consummation physically, if you will, of the marriage, Mary was found to be with child. And you can imagine the stir that that caused everyone. It says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to come back to the of the Holy Spirit in just a little bit here. First, let me go to verse 19. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her an example, was minded to put her away secretly. So here's Joseph, a man of God, doing things by the law and the principles of God, finds that he has a wife who he's engaged to, legally his wife at this point, and she's already with child, and the Bible says it's by the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't know that yet. He feels that his wife has conceived apart from him with some other man. Now, how did Mary get in this predicament? Well, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit had come to Mary and revealed the plan to her. Joseph didn't get that revelation just yet. So what's going on up to this point? Joseph is upset. He's hurt like any one of us would be in this particular situation. The big deal is that God is establishing the fulfillment of a prophecy. And the fulfillment of the prophecy is that Jesus will be called the Son of David among many other things that he will be called. But Son of David is one of them. And Joseph is the legal line, not the biological. He's the legal line to Joseph being the son of David. You see, Joseph himself was a son of David. So legally, his son, Jesus, doesn't matter biologically or not. It just matters his son legally. Jesus fulfills that prophecy in Joseph. So for him to want and desire a divorce breaks off that thing that was supposed to happen according to the scriptures. But what happens? Joseph, too, gets a message from the angel. The same angel that spoke to Mary that says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. And you will conceive a child. The same angel goes to Joseph and says, do not be afraid to marry Mary. For the child within her is from the Holy Spirit. Wow. He has to reconcile all this. But he hears from an angel to help him through a tough time. She heard from an angel to do a tough work. And there's some incredible things that take place here in just a little bit. In Luke, the Holy Spirit overshadowing. And I'm going to go back to the birth, okay? So I've established the betrothal, the being pregnant before consummation, and then the follow-through of Joseph after he hears from the angel to follow through on this. It says, the word here is that the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. And this is what the angel was telling her. All right? That overshadowing, there's a Greek word for it. And I don't like going into the Greek so much because I can never pronounce any of the words that it has. But episkiazo is the word that it talks about when you hear the word overshadowing or hovering or brooding. And that's exactly what is happening. It's the same word that was used at the beginning of creation. And at the beginning of creation, the espiazo, the Holy Spirit was hovering, that's what he was doing, over the waters. That same spirit is what hovered over Mary that empowered the conception of this baby. The word birth means Genesis, so that was an easy track for me to follow. The word birth is Genesis, and Genesis is well, we know the first book of Genesis, but it's the new beginnings. It's a beginning. It's also called the nativity. So it's the same work of the Holy Spirit, one in creation, one that's going to lead to salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1:2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering or brooding over the face of the waters. That's espikazazo or whatever. Does anybody know any Greek here? Does anybody speak the language? I don't blame you. Episkiazo. And in Exodus 40, it says, Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle. Why couldn't he enter the tabernacle? Because the espiazo, the spirit, the cloud, was so thick that the presence of God, he couldn't even enter into the temple. So that which is deeply spiritual also has a feeling of, it's almost physical. It's so thick that the presence of God is so thick. It happens again at the transfiguration when Jesus is changed. It happens again when they followed the cloud by day and the fire by night, as Israel was moving away from, the Jews were moving away from Egypt. All these things speak to this power of the Spirit. Luke 1:41, it says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Mary heard from an angel. Joseph heard from an angel to help them through the great thing that they had in front of them. Elizabeth hears the voice of Mary and the baby in her womb, which is 6 months along. And that baby is John the Baptist, by the way, leaps in her womb. But it says Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Thank you. Whoever said that. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does she do with the power of the Holy Spirit in her? She proclaims about the baby. The angels help their servants. But it was the Holy Spirit that gave her the utterance to speak the truth. Prophesy, if you will. God's word. How powerful is that? And by why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The mother of my Lord should come to me. Elizabeth knew that the baby inside of Mary was of God because the Spirit of God revealed it to her. I want you to think about your life. And can you think of times where the Spirit of God revealed something to you that was beyond things that you knew? Can you think of times where the Spirit of God revealed things to you that was bigger than what anybody else has ever told you? That's the revelation that she got. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had somebody come and speak to you, moved by the Spirit of God, speaking truth to you? And the thing you had to do was wrestle. Do I receive it as truth, or do I go a different way? This is a big deal, what's taking place with Elizabeth here. And I don't think it's meant to be missed. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit and God gives you a word, speak the word. I had a young man just come up here. I know I freaked him out, asking him to come up here and pray. And if you listened, he prayed beautifully, but he also prayed the word that was for us to hear. It happens all the time in this church. Do we take heed to it? I'm going to tell you right now, take heed to the word that's given. You discern if it's from God and take heed to it. And if you receive that word, do what it says. I pray that you have the ability to discern if things are not from God, if things are of the enemy. I pray that you can discern those things and walk away from those things. I pray that in this church, people speak as the Spirit gives you utterance to speak. We're called to a day, I believe, that the evangelist within you needs to come out. The evangelist that is in you, the gift of evangelism in you, needs to come out and it needs to be spoken to people. You need to speak to people about the truth of what you know. I do too. In this day especially, but it was meant to be since the time of Christ, we were supposed to be doing this. But I'm feeling the urgency right now for the church to rise up and speak truth in love, speak truth to bring life in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As Elizabeth is speaking this very truth, by the power of the Holy Spirit, took me right back to Peter. When Jesus asked, Peter, who do people say I am? And not just Peter, but all the disciples were given their eye. You're Jeremiah, you're Isaiah, you're this, you're that, you're Ezekiel, whatever they were saying that he was. And then he says to Peter, Peter, who do you say I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The same spirit that spoke through Elizabeth was speaking through Peter. Because Jesus went on to say, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. When you get that revelation, speak it. Don't squelch the Holy Spirit when he's speaking to you. I'll give you just on a side note. I think it was last week when I asked if somebody knew, received a word from God. And nobody spoke up, and that's fine. But we found out later that somebody did get a word from God. And it was hard to speak. It's a scary thing. I'd be very slow to pull the trigger if I got a word and I'm not used to doing this. So the word I got after was, when that happens, write it down. Get it out, write it down. If you know the Spirit of God was speaking to you and you couldn't share it, just write it down. And you don't have to put your name on it. I'd like it if you did. And you can come by after the service and stick it in one of these bowls. And we'll read those. And we may make a comment as to how accurate it was. Or we may say that that was really for the person, for you. But I want people to be ready to speak in the day that we live. Your silence in these areas is useless, I believe. My silence for me to stifle and be quiet is useless. But the things you speak, when they come from the Spirit of God, they need to be spoken. I can just imagine our next service. We'll have a 4-hour, everybody had a word. That'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? Thank you, Jesus. God brings salvation. Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is what Jesus came to do, is to save us from our sins. Not that you and I are better because we know him. We should be, but that doesn't necessarily mean it. It means that he saved me from my sin. Sometimes the only difference between the world and the church is the person received the gift of salvation. Now, you're not supposed to just sit on that gift and rest off into the sunset. You're supposed to grow. In Peter, it says, be holy even as I am holy, Jesus said. Be holy even as I am holy. So we go on a journey of becoming holy. For what purpose? To bring glory to God. What's the best way to bring glory to God? Is for us to be holy and speak of who he is. Bring glory to God. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us. His Jewish name is Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. In biblical times, your name meant something. And I believe sometimes today your name still means something. His name meant something. Let's talk about Joseph just a little bit here. In Matthew 1:24, it says, and Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel commanded him and took Mary for his wife. Why did he take Mary for his wife? Because the angel of the Lord spoke to him in a dream. He did not know her till she had brought forth her first son. In other words, they're betrothed, they're married, without the physical act of consummation, that hasn't happened until after Jesus is born. We know that Jesus had brothers, according to Scripture. And that boy's name was Jesus. I said earlier that there were different kingdoms in the last days, or in the prior days. There's the kingdom of Babylon. We talked about that a little bit. After the kingdom of Babylon, there's the Medo-Persian Empire. All right, then there's the Greek Empire. And after the Greek is the Roman Empire. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when he takes Judah into captivity, I know this is a history lesson. I'm just sorry, but this is good for us to know. Actually, I'm not sorry. This is good for us to know. There was a transition time with David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego while they were in captivity, and it moves into the Medo-Persian Empire. And in that empire, there's these Medes that are these powerfully intelligent, sharp men based on worldly understandings of things. These men were called Magi, and in a lot of ways they were very similar to the Levites of the Jewish faith. They were monotheistic. They had one God, but they had incredible influence and power within their country, within their kingdom. And kings came about because these people said this is to be the king. So that's the kind of power they had. And before, like I was saying, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and again, Abednego had big influence and impact on these people. So when we get to the point of them looking at a star, I said earlier, stars, the study of stars is astrology. Some of you are going to go run outside your door on the 21st and go look up and see the stars and see the planets align. And you're going to be all excited about this happening. And you know what? I'll probably go take a peek myself. But that means nothing more than something interesting in the sky. Our hope is in Christ, and our focus is on him and his return. And what do we do in the meantime? The star is a cool thing. I did it this summer. They said, from these days, there's going to be, what are those called? Comets and meteors and all kinds of things flying in the sky. So Sally and I took a drive out to the southwest, out past Wayside, and we went out to a farmer's field, and we pulled into that little driveway, and we just sat there and looked at them, and seemed like every hour, but it was every 5 minutes or so. But then they said the real show was coming at about 1 a.m. Oh, Sally was done after about 5 minutes, but I was, okay. We went home. So I got my sleeping bag, I got a pillow, and I went laid out under the stars. It's about 11. Oh, man, I fell asleep. I woke up soaking wet, full of dew, missed the show, but I know what the show looked like. It's gone. That's what this is. With the planets aligning and Jupiter and Saturn being in alignment. I'm going to go take a look and go. Some people say it was a star that led these wise men who studied this stuff and who knew this stuff. My favorite is, I really like this one and I want this to be true. But they said, it was the Shekinah glory of God. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says it was a star. Planets were sometimes referred to as stars. And stars are stars. But there was a star. I have no problem believing that the Shekinah glory of God was the thing that guided them. I want to believe that. And actually, if you believe that, I'm good with it. And if I believe it, I'm kind of good with it. But I do want to stay true to the word. And he says a star. What these wise men had studied and looked at and followed is the thing that took them. It's men from Babylon, men from Persia, the two kingdoms. You can read about it in Esther 1:13 or Daniel 2. You can read about this. And the prophecy came from a heathen about some of this. A heathen, Balaam, a guy who wanted nothing to do with God. He wanted everything to do with money. And he gives a prophecy that a star would come up out of Jacob, the scepter out of Judah. And this all feeds into these magi wanting to come and see this great star. In Matthew 2:2 it says, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." They knew to worship him. How about that? These kings knew to worship him. Why? Because they were influenced by Daniel. They're influenced by the books and things they stole from Israel. They were influenced by all of this. Praise God. What kind of influence do we have on people? Are we influencing people towards Christ? Are we influencing them in such a fashion that Christ is distasteful to them because of how we conduct our lives? This isn't to make anybody feel guilty. It's just make you take a look. Does my life glorify God? Do I impact people that their thinking changes to the things of truth, real truth? Or do I keep the truth to myself and let my behavior be what it will be? It's good to ask ourselves these questions. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Basically what that's saying is when he's mad, everybody's mad. When Herod ain't happy, the whole nation's not happy. He was an angry, vile, wicked king. And the son that came after him was every bit as bad, if not worse. That's kind of what it's speaking about. And he wants to do away with this God that's going to be coming. Then it goes into verse 5. It says, so they said to him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. And that's taken from Micah. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and search carefully. Why? Because they want to find the young child so that he can kill the young child. And you know the story. He doesn't find the child, but he kills all the children 2 years and under. How evil and how wicked is that? So when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east, and went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Some say it was a star. Some say it was the Shekinah glory of God. Some say it was planets lining up. Doesn't matter. There was a great light that came, and God was sovereign over that light and had it point to the place where the king was. Somebody's being pretty sovereign with these lights up here, and they're going off and on. I know that. All right. And then in 2:10 it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. In verse 11, and when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him, much like what you saw happening here. And the worship in that day was everything I said it was. That you'd be on your knees before that, before whom you have worshipped, and you'd kiss their feet because they were worthy of it. And these pagan kings knew that this child was to be worshipped. Why? Because they knew the word of the Old Testament at some level, because these were sharp, sharp, intelligent men. They were no dim wits. They knew by the scriptures. How did they know? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They saw the word, and they knew that this child was it. And the child fulfilled the prophecies. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And so now these magi hear from an angel, and they're told to go another way. I love how God works. He works through lost people. Do you believe that? He works through lost people. He works through Balaam, who was anti-God. He works through men who are searching for God. By the way, I believe that's why they saw the star in the first place. Because they were looking for a God, and they knew that what they were looking for was God. What a powerful story. Now, this is a little different than the Luke account. Luke account does the lineage, I believe, for Mary. And the story is really complete and thorough and beautiful. But this one is loaded with so much meat if we just look beyond the surface a little bit. And it should grow our faith. And I think one of the things, we had this in our life group, that struck me has to do with the chains in Joseph. Joseph changed. How did he change? Because he had a visitation from an angel, a messenger to help him see the truth and change. Joseph changed. Reminds me a lot of the disciples. They believed in their head. They were weak in their flesh. And they couldn't do all the things they were called to do. They didn't have it within them to do what they were called to do. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls upon them and they change the world right side up. Amen, Ralph? Right side up. Why? Because they knew the truth. Because it had been revealed to them by the Spirit of God. And then they were empowered by the Spirit of God to speak and change a world. And my prayer for me, my prayer for my family, and my prayer for this church is that you be so filled by the Spirit of God that it prompts you to change and believe at a deeper level than what you do now. Not just with your brains, but with your heart. And that you would step out because your heart has been transformed and your heart has been changed. That you would speak life to those who are dying. That you would speak truth to those who are dying. And I'm just going to tell you to prepare you. When you speak that truth, they may not receive it. They might reject you right to your face and give you a platitude or some kind of thank you for sharing me your truth. But I'm going to go with my truth because my truth actually feels better for me. You might receive that. But now you've planted a seed and God is at work. He is at work in them. He is at work in them just like he was at work in Joseph, who was totally transformed by his actions. He's transformed. His work transformed Mary. She was all in. How could this be? I've yet been with a man. How could I? Whatever you ask, I'll do. The vessel that changed this world. Amen. You can just close your eyes right where you're at. I love this holiday. I love to give good gifts. I love to receive good gifts. If all being all honest, I like getting gifts just like y'all do. But as I get older, the idea of us being about the business of God and sharing the gift with people is now the most important thing I have going in my life. It's the most important things that come out of my mouth. When I speak to my precious grandchildren, I speak to them about who Jesus is. When I talk to my own children, I talk deeper about who Jesus is because it's what matters. Everything is about Jesus and who he is. Everything. And I have to do that from this place that I stand right now, is share Jesus with you. And you do with it what you will. But make no mistake, salvation is through Christ and him alone. There is no other way to the Father but through him. The Bible says all you have to do is take the gift and receive the gift. Receive Christ. His name is salvation. Receive Jesus. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is with us so you can receive him and be saved through him. If you've never done that before, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and ask him to come in. If you're a teenager and you think you know all about Jesus because you heard every story your parents have told you, right now, he's asking you to make a decision to live for him. If that's you and you've never asked him to totally be your Lord, to be your Savior, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. If that's you. If you're an adult and you're so desperately afraid of this decision because it's going to change your life, I'm going to tell you this. He's going to change your life for the good. I want you to raise your hand if you want to receive him today. Is there anybody here that would like to do that?